Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Acts chapter 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that a divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art of imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead."
Awesome. I'll pray first and then we'll take a seat. But God bless the reading of his holy word. We pray, Lord, that it would penetrate our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. If you can say hi to a couple of people around you and then you can take a seat. For those of you who haven't had the chance of meeting yet, my name is Nelly. I'm a senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane, and we're really excited this morning because we're going to be touching on a topic that's specifically special to not just the heart of this church, but the heart of our movement around the world. In fact, if there was one marker of what makes Every Nation distinctive, or at least in our DNA across the world, it is this topic. So over the last few weeks, we've been going through our values, the values of our church. We've been talking about worship, outreach, discipleship, and family. And today, this is not necessarily one of the written values as much as it is the central thread of a lot of what we do as Every Nation Brisbane and Every Nation around the world. For those of you who are new to our movement of ministries and churches around the world, I think it would be amiss of me not to mention that God has been so faithful to grant us the opportunity to see over 500 churches around the world in over 80 nations, of which you are sitting in one of them here in Australia. And so we're really blessed this morning to just really celebrate what God does. As you probably saw through that video, one of the things that's really important to us as a ministry around the world is campus ministry, ministry specifically to the next generation, and particularly the university campuses around the world, because we really believe, as you will hear later, that the future movers and shakers, not just of our society here in Brisbane or in Australia, but around the world, come to study on campuses across the world. And I thought, you know, it would be amiss of me to not... have the opportunity this morning to give someone the amazing opportunity to share out of what she does so faithfully and so amazingly, serving as our campus minister for Every Nation Brisbane. It's been amazing. I shared in the first service the thing that really blesses me about Samantha is not just her skill in what she does so well, serving on our campus and as a part of our youth leadership team as well, with her heart and her excellence in serving the next generation, but just the friendship that Tina and I get to have with her. I was just thinking about how when the pandemic hit, for those of you who don't know, pastors were scrambling to all of a sudden start online ministries that didn't exist before. And, you know, I know many of you were either became a part of it when restrictions began to open, and I was really honored with the opportunity to get to know Sammy even deeper, and not just as a fellow minister of this gospel, but as a friend. She's really become a great friend to us. And campus ministry is really central, and I wanted to shout out all of my university students here specifically. And special shout out to Dan and Kath as well for being such an amazing support for our campus ministry, because they also see the heart of reaching and getting an amen from a baby back there. That's awesome. Next generation, that's right. So it's just really, really a delight to sow into the next generation. In fact, I was reminded that from our campus ministry here years ago, Pastor Pedro, who actually went to plant the church in Spain, in Madrid, and start the church there, and was really instrumental in our work into Ukraine at the start of the war. He actually was a student that was impacted with the gospel at UQ, and has now gone into ministry. And we've just really been blessed to see so many leaders and people that have come out of our campus ministry. I think about my awesome sister, Bianca, up here, who was one of our student leaders, is now leading where she leads and leads as a part of this church. It's just a blessing to be able to see that. And we really believe that for our youth ministry. Right, Hope? We believe that for our youth ministry, Georgia. And we also believe that for our campus students. Change the campus, change the world. So give it up for my favorite campus minister, Samantha Thomas, as she comes to deliver the word.
I wanted to first acknowledge and honor our senior pastors, Pastor Nelly and Pastor Tina, for such an opportunity that we get to hear to talk about my favorite topic, the next generation. And in talking about, I guess, the next generation, to be honest with you, I was a little bit daunted to be like, please choose someone else. Because to talk or to be with the next generation, I'm all good. I'd love to spend time with them, to hear from them, to hear what's going on in their world. But to talk about this topic is bringing in a number of complexities and things to consider. For one, I think we need to come back to the roots of what we value right now as a church. We honor God by establishing Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, socially responsible campus ministries and churches in every single nation. And in order to consider the next generation, I think we also have to consider the discussion about who is part, what am I bringing to the table, so to speak? In my generation, there's been certain things that have symbolized and identified and marked us to be like either the millennials, either the Gen Z, B, D, C, all of those ones. And that's something that you bring to the table when we perceive this next generation. So come with me, if you would, back through the decades. Somebody say, back through the decades. Yeah. If I say a leather jacket, pop your collar, and I got chills. Hey, okay. Come on and preach with me. Or who you gonna call? Oh, okay, alrighty there, okay. Guys, we're in church. Come back, Jesus. Or the TV, right? Remember, anyone had to, like, move the antennae to try and get the right signal at the right time? You have to, like, stand there for, like, 5 minutes. Yes, youth, 5 minutes to try and get the right signal. Seriously, the patience that we had at the time. Or my decade, the millennials in the house, anyone? Okay. If I say, I'll be there for you. I love it. It's okay, I was not a friends person either. I was more of, this is a story all about how my life got. Yeah, here we go. Thank you, Will Smith, back in the day. But high tops, fades, and Back to the Future, these things kind of marked us. And though this might be a Western view of these generations, I understand there are certain nuances of ways in which that we all grew up. And then we come to the current generation, Generation Z or Alpha. And unfortunately, I couldn't find any kind of images that depict them with their heads looking up. No shade, but there was just like, everyone was like connected to some form of technology. But I did learn about K-pop. If you didn't know, that's Blackpink. That's what I hear it to be. Is that right? Yeah, Blackpink. I'm still learning. I'm amongst them, but I'm still learning. This is good news. But if we take it from multiple angles, we can almost get lost in everything. If you take it from a social perspective and talking about the next generation, then you can consider, I guess, the issues that are sometimes faced. Unfortunately, when you're looking at data, looking at this generation can be quite negative. And we can sometimes take what the world says about them and bring that into here and now. And also then based on our view of how we see generations, well, back in my day, this is how we did it. I know, I even begin to talk about that. And I'm only a couple of, you know, decades in between. But I have that perspective. So if we go from a social perspective, a political perspective of either exclusivity versus inclusivity, I'm going to allow everyone to be part of my discussion, but am I being fluid about how my values are in understanding Jesus and who he is in my life? Or the exclusivity of this space of, no, if you don't look like me, think like me, act like me, then we can't hang out, we can't roll. Where do we find the fine line from an intellectual perspective to just research all the data and information to say, this is what technology is doing to our young kids? What do we do? Where do we go? How do we navigate through this? Yet the Word of God. That's the beauty of the Word of God. It spans the test of time. History cannot fathom the truth of the Word. All Scripture, what does it say? It's breathed by God and profitable for teaching and for reproach. We come back to the Word. The Word is how we understand this generation and how to respond and also to check our hearts of what we're bringing to this discussion. So would you allow the Lord to check our hearts today? To walk and have a conversation together about this next generation. My assignment to you today is to understand and share with you why we as a church value the next generation, and in particular, campus ministry. In short, I'm just going to give it to you straight up. It's a God thing. It's a kingdom business thing. Consider the scriptures, and from Genesis to Revelations, there's an understanding that God is about the generations. That even at the times where they grieve him and they even disobey him and walk away from him, the rainbow is a symbolism, right, of the generational covenant to say, I will not flood this earth anymore. I've got you covered. But we can twist it in society to think that it's about a particular group. He says in Matthew, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's letting them know, I'm coming down the line. I've been part of your line for a long time. And so in generational understandings and talking about the next generation, we carry with us the generational wealth. What are you passing down in your line? And not just biologically, but also in the generation that is around you. The auntie to, the cousin of, the good friend to. Matthew 28, they say it's the Great Commission, but in my time of understanding and preparing for today, I see it now as a generational commission to recognize, to go there forth and make disciples of all the nations. How long? That knowing that Jesus is with you even to the end of the age, the next generation and the next generation. I put forward to you that you could say, okay, so what are you saying? Like I got to do it because you just told me to, because it's a God thing. Yes, in part, but mostly to say it's an invitation for us to see God move within the generation, to see the redemptive power of Jesus at work within the generations. So when the topic of talking about this current one comes, I don't just see those two terms, next generation. It's actually images that I see. I see my campus crew. Here we go. Waterworks are going to happen. Go with it. I see them every single week. And there's a freshness that they have, an eagerness to know God. And that challenges me on so many ways. When I think of the next generation, I think of your kids that I get the honor of walking with at youth. Seeing them grow and understanding God. And previous, before my time of full-time ministry, I got the opportunity to work with, the stats say, the 2% of kids in our marginalized parts of society. They were the roughnecks that would get into trouble with the courts. It's actually quite serious, to be honest with you. But there was such beauty in recognizing, why do you think the way you think and how much you need God right now? To show and share his love, to recognize that you are not alone, but God is with you. The next generation are here. They're literally in the front. I can't really look at them because I'll cry again. But what are we going to do? How are we going to respond from a biblical perspective? And this is where we come and engage in Acts 17. Ooh, somebody say, strap in, we're about to go. Here we go. Acts 17 is so cool. Acts in general is such a vibe. See, I'm trying to be with it, trying to see the terms. Roll with me. In the beginning, Jesus has ascended, but before he ascends, he says, the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. And then to his followers, they receive the Holy Spirit and they're about to go out. It's the time of firsts. It's so encouraging because the first happened. The first church comes into play. And then we see in this series of sections, it's chapter 13 to 18, is the first people go out and do missions. They're sharing about Jesus. It's like they're on fire. They're praying for other people, praying for healing, coming and restoring relationships. It's a whole situation. It's like we all went out and said, let's go. We're here with God and we're going. And so we find Paul here with two other people. He's usually with Silas and Timothy. And just for our young guns, Timothy is quite young. But he goes and walks together with Paul. But unfortunately, as he goes to two locations, Thessalonica and Berea, he gets rejected by the church. The people that look like him, when he talks about Jesus, say, yo, I'm done with it. Go to somewhere else. I encourage you to look in those scriptures in particular because I'm just summarizing. But then he lands to this space of going to Athens. And this is where we start and read the text. So it says here in verse 16, now while Paul was waiting, someone say waiting. Oh, take a note. We're going to come back to that. For them at Athens. Now, Athens is an influential place. Previously, it was considered a place of political influence, but at this time, it's actually a place of understanding and learning. It's the epicenter for learning. It's a time in which, in particular, fine arts is one of the main focuses, and Greek philosophy, it's shared amongst it. Philosophy is just how they see life to work. What is my role in life? What does that look like? Greek philosophy is what is shared. And in addition, international students, scholars say, come to Athens in order to learn. Does that sound familiar to you? As a campus minister, I ring university. That's where they're coming. They're coming to the city to understand and learn a deeper meaning of what really life is about. See, the reason why we value campus ministry is because the values on campus become the values in society. And historically and now, major movements, good or bad, have begun on campus. Therefore, the future leaders of society are on campus. And this is where we understand that they are meeting. While Paul is waiting, he's in Athens, and then what happens? His spirit was provoked within him as he what? As he saw that the city was full of idols. The Greek in the original text of provoked means is a meaning to say his feelings were stirred to the point of action. I apologize if anyone is Greek here. Please help me to pronounce this next time. But the Greek word is proxuno. And there's only two occasions where it is mentioned within Scripture. The whole Bible, only two. This verse and then the love verse. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is patient, love is kind. It says, love is not easily angered. It's not easily provoked, not easily proxuno. I ask God, why? Why is there only two occasions, Lord, that of the Greek language these two exist? Could they be linked? I put it forward to you, yes. God is love and God is spirit. And in this time where Paul's spirit is stirred, I venture to say that he was stirred by the Holy Spirit. In seeing that there was so much going on in Athens, that there were so many idols that the Athens city was engaging in. A righteous anger, not an emotional response, but a righteous anger from the Holy Spirit was stirring within him to say, not on my watch. When is the last time that God has stirred your spirit for the next generation? When is the last time that you've really wanted to engage and the Lord had to check my heart to pray for them, to intercede? Just because I'm around them doesn't necessarily mean I had an intercession for them. And not fueled by an emotional response, but by the Holy Spirit, he began to move. This is where he moved to. So then he goes and says, so he reasoned in the synagogue to my youth. I'm going to break it down for you. Remember when we were talking about discipleship, the three F's? Do the actions with me. Don't make me feel like I'm by myself. What was the three F's? Oh, fish for the lost, follow Jesus, and fellowship. He's going to fellowship. It's all right. I did that by myself. It's okay. Got it. I got it. Roll together. So he went to church and with the Jews and the devout persons. And then where did he go? In the marketplace. How often? Every day. I venture to say he's trying to understand these people. He understood the importance to gather together and then to go out. Come on, somebody. There's an importance in gathering together, but you need to go out. Meet the people where they're at. Meet the generation where they're at. So this is what he does. And this is the people that he meets. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also converse with him. I love God's word because I was like, who are these people, Lord? What's so big about them? Epicureans are about, because I know you asked, self-gratification and all about me, myself, and I. It's before Beyonce had any lyrics about it. It's how can I meet my own needs right now? Their view of God is very doubtful. They're like, it doesn't even exist. And then their view of if anything happens after they die is like, no, thank you. That's why they live for the here and now. Sound familiar? The Stoic philosophers at this time are about, I need to reason and rationalize. If I plan every part of my life and manage it well, nothing can go wrong. And naturally things can happen, but I utilize logic to engage in life. And this is what happens. How does he respond to them? And some said, what does this babbler, talking about Paul, wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. Follow Paul now. He's gone from fellowship to the marketplace to talking about Jesus. He's very clear of who he believes in, very clear of his assignment. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is and what you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Alarm bells, alarm bells. If someone becomes curious, that's a God-opening door. Sometimes in awakening our spirits, we need to be aware of the curiosity of others. That is an invitation that God gives us to say, get ready to fish. The answer to this next generation is the gospel, but it's also understanding how to disciple, how to walk together with them through it, how to journey through the highs and lows of life. And he had spent time in the marketplace to understand them more. And then further, there's a curiosity awakening to be like, this guy is different. Stranger things to our ears, stranger in the Greek means it's foreign, it's unknown. Listen out for the times of invitation and also to my young people and also to anyone of any age. Be okay that even if you share the message, they might not receive it. It might be foreign and unknown. Our job is to share the gospel. God does the rest. So then we move further. It says, so Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, he takes on the challenge, right? He's like, okay, y'all are inviting me. Here we go. He says this, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Remember the idols. The idols and places and altars of worship. What are idols? Well, we touched a little bit on it last week in regarding of worship. It's whatever you mirror or whatever you focus your time, your talent, and your treasure on. And in this generation, you could say, okay, it's just social media. Yes, that could be one. But if we say not just for them, but for all of us, it can be a number of factors. Your relationships, your emotional regulation, your understanding of my career and my focus. Whatever you mirror is what you then idolize. What you consider is your worship to bestow upon. Have you ever noticed that if people like engage in a number of like celebrity kind of documentaries and stuff, they start to act like them? It's what you mirror. Like, oh my gosh, I just can't engage with you right now. You know? I'm not naming particular family names because I'm not coming for anyone right now. Or something that the young generation, I hope you understand. Remember when you do this in like a lot of YouTube clips? ASMR. Don't worry, guys. ASMR is when people are just quiet and eat and just do noises in order to stimulate people to want to eat more. I know. No judgment, no questions asked, no judgment passed. Just saying. You had something back in your day. I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found that also an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. He was in close proximity. He spent every day in the marketplace. And he is not implying of anything, but he is suggesting, this is how I perceive of you. This is what I see of you. The only way to do that is in close proximity. The key to sharing the gospel in this time is to be in close proximity to the generation, to culturally discern, how do I apply and share the gospel amongst this generation? And you could say that, yes, for those that are maybe more seasoned, but it's also for us and my crew from youth and also campus. How is your friends engaging and talking about life? And how then can I share the gospel with those that are around me? He's about to make the unknown God known. So the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and of earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Why did he engage the way he did? He's addressing their life tendencies. He's addressing the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers, coming and speaking to their level, engaging to say, everything that you want to do to satisfy you will never be enough. Everything that you want to try, plan and organize in your life to make it happen, it will never be enough. Because you doing life without the life giver is a time of lifelessness. And we can say, go ahead, Paul, you better tell them. But if we really want to be honest, we have some Epicurean tendencies within our hearts. Have some Stoic philosophical ways of engaging. That, Lord, you can govern every single part of my life, but that part that I just want to get for me, myself, and I, don't touch it, Lord. Parts of my life that say, no, I can do it, Lord. I can manage it. I don't have to ask anyone else. I've got this. Just leave it to me. Life without the life giver. And the reason why he proclaims and shares that Jesus and the resurrection is because he's trying to say, wake up. Recognize you are in need of a savior. To walk this life out with God, without God, is to say that you're not connected. You are the creation, but you need to be connected to the creator. The creator is the one that has created you and purposed you. He calls you his workmanship, and you were created and designed for a purpose. But because of sin you have engaged in, it separates you and distorts your vision of who God is and how to connect with other people. That's why you self-indulge, because it's all about come and be for me, come and do what I want to do, come and plan things because I need to work and manage things. But then that's why God gives us a solution. That's why Paul is saying that Jesus is the solution, and also that the resurrection is needed, because the penalty for sin is death. So Jesus took the fall And in being raised from the dead, he's being an example to say, you don't have to live in that space anymore, being separate from God. You can come in. Oh, how this generation needs to hear that today. Needs to hear the gospel today. Needs to recognize that they can't just live and do life how they're doing it without him. And so therefore it says, this is what they should do. They should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. As even some of your poets have said, he's still discerning the culture, right? For we are indeed his offspring. Do you know that you are his offspring today? You are designed and purposed for a reason. And the world may think, you may even be in a crowd and sometimes feel like, no one sees me. I'm not really welcomed in this space. I venture to say there's a part of our hearts that's only God-shaped. And the Lord wants to come in and let you know, I am with you. But also in this space to know there's things that are separating us. But I have come with solution. It says, Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is the solution. He was the solution then and he is the result and solution now. That's why we share the gospel. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. I want to come back to, this. Change the method, not the message. Jesus remains the same, but the way in which that we approach this next generation has to change. In close proximity, you will recognize and speak to what is going on in this generation. Statistically, there's a guy by the name of, I'm probably going to get his surname wrong, Kerry Nuoff. Yeah. And statistically, he's looking at general data regarding the current church and the next generation. In order to meet it and engage, he says that this is the generation that is looking for heart knowledge. Previous generations in trying to understand and being engaged with Christianity look for head knowledge. What is the theology? What do I know about God? But this generation is looking for heart knowledge. Is what you say and what I see of you the same? Can you authentically show me who this Jesus is? We are gospel mirrors. If you're a believer in Jesus. And it is a time in which that I believe God is stirring our hearts to break for this next generation. A Holy Spirit conviction to say, not on our watch. Because though the world may speak so negatively, what are you saying about the next generation? How are you engaging with them? We come back to the beginning. In verse 16 is where we started. Now, while Paul was waiting, the scripture doesn't speak about that Athens was actually the destination. He was driven there by what had happened previously. And he's waiting for his crew. And all of this that we spoke about happened. What are you doing in the waiting? While you're waiting for your degree to be completed, what are you doing in the waiting? While you're waiting for your career to take off, what are you doing in the waiting? Will you allow God to stir your heart for this current generation? That they can see a mirror of Jesus through how you talk, how you walk, how you journey with them. And I wanted to give us some Monday handles, so to speak, to ensure that if God is stirring our spirits, how do we walk this out in the day-to-day? So I used the acronym WAIT. I was trying to be really pastoral and take a leaf out of Pastor Nelly's book. Go with me. WAIT. The first one is to wait on the Lord. Allow him to stir your spirit and know what is your role to play. Ask him. Because I venture to say we are all part of that journey of knowing what we can do to help this generation. Be authentic and available. For this situation, I'm not trying to boast myself, but they've already got a Sam. Do you know what I mean? Hey, they don't need another Sam. Of the times that I've engaged in campus ministry, I've been so blessed by, I'm just going to shout you out, I know this is going to be uncomfortable, but go with it, the Fernandezes, because they brought something to the table that I couldn't bring. I can give off older sis vibes, all good, no worries. From the youth, I'm giving auntie, and I love it. I get such the honor when people who don't look like me or think like me call me auntie and then youth, and I'm like, thanks, man. Because that's so a term of endearment in my culture. It means I'm in. It means I'm connected. We got a relationship, and I want to honor that. But the Fernandezes give motherly and fatherly role and come alongside our campus crew like no other. They can fill and engage and be an example of family at this time for students who are coming from all different nations. And not just them, but many other people have done the same in coming alongside and championing this next generation that we currently have within our church. Would we make space for more? Would we make room for more? Be authentic. Do you. There's a God-given within you image. Remember, we're made in the image of God. And be available. Availability doesn't mean that you have to make so much time. It just means your openness. Your openness to engage with the next generation. Intentionally build intergenerational relationships. There's a space in which that we can learn from one another. Those that have been through the faith through a number of seasons, you have steadfastness, there's faithfulness, there's endurance. This current generation needs to learn from that. This generation also has such a freshness. That's why some of the scriptures say the kingdom is connected in engaging with the children, because the children have a childlike faith. Remember, like how a child, I know I'm not a mother yet, but what I'm saying is there is a time where, you know, the baby's learning to walk, and then you're all excited and you're like, oh my gosh, the kid's doing it. You've got it. You've got it. Keep going. Keep going. That's what they need from you, church, to champion and come alongside. How are you going to invest in and to take action? It's time to move. So we're going to take time today to ask the Lord, because we don't want to move in our own strength. And I really sense that the Lord is going to just give us an awareness of what is our role to play in reaching this next generation. And then further, we're going to give an opportunity that, whether this is the first time or the thousandth time, that if you don't know Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer together that you would, and to recognize that you were created on purpose. You're created on purpose, but there are things that are separating you from seeing God truly. And Jesus is a solution to be the one that resurrected things from the dead, to recognize that it's in Him we live and move and have our being. So we're going to pause for a second and just ask the Lord, what is my role to play, Lord, in reaching the next generation? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're here. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I really sense you're stirring our hearts as a church to break for this generation. We come and surrender our thoughts and ideas regarding it. Show us what is our role to play. Be it through prayer, be it on the front line, or just championing the people that are walking alongside this current generation. Show us what our role is. Just take a few minutes to wait on the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you would, We're going to pray across the generations. So I would love for you guys to stand together and to pray with someone that is from a different generation. Don't be disrespectful now to my youth. Don't be thinking something. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to unite us in one spirit. And then if you'd like to share whatever the Lord had showed you was your role to play, let's rally together in one another. Let's do that now.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.